Good morning. This is Don Stone, pastor of the Helotes Independent Baptist Church. And I'm here again today to share the Word of God with you. And I do trust that I can be a blessing and a help to you as I bring the message that the Lord has given. I want to speak to you today on the subject of follow me. We'll find our text in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. And we'll be reading from verse 13 through verse 17 of Mark chapter 8 with you. Now let me read for you from the Gospel of Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 13 and reading through verse 17. And when he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And thus we have our text that we want to use today, and you'll notice that there are two different times here mentioned in this text. One is an individual called Levi, or we would know him as Matthew, the same one who wrote the gospel. The Lord approached him at the receipt of customs and told him, Follow me. And the Bible said he followed him. Then there was a group that were around and sitting in Levi's house, and it was said of these disciples, there were many, and they followed him. So we find that this subject is a worthy subject and a worthy title. It fits. And there's some things about following Jesus Christ that I believe that you need to know and I need to preach to you today. Jesus passed by, and Levi sitting at the receipt of customs, and Jesus called him, Follow me. Now, you might have never heard any kind of a call in your life from God. You might have lived your life without any sense of responsibility to God. But I want you to know today that God is calling you and saying, Follow me. I believe you ought to come to grips with the issue of sin and settle that issue through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting His death on the cross of Calvary as your death, knowing that He died in your place. And then I believe that you ought to arise as Levi did and follow Jesus Christ. There certainly is a necessity of following Jesus Christ today. I want to present to you some thoughts today along this line of thinking, this subject. First of all, I believe we ought to follow Jesus for who He is. Follow Jesus for who He is. Well, Jesus came down from heaven, according to the Word of God. And you can tell a lot about where a man comes from. If a man comes from a good family or a bad family, might even come from a city or a county or a country. Do you realize that from a historical standpoint, that the city of Corinth, where the apostle Paul went and preached the gospel to them and said, I came not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, determined to preach the truth to them, that city was known for its wickedness. And really, it became known as a description of people. For example, if a person was living a very debauched, depraved life, like many live today, by the way, without any thought of God, without any thought of responsibility, open, avowed rebellion against the Word of God in sexual matters, in the area of truth and so forth. Men lived horrible lives. You would say of that person that he's a Corinthian or he is Corinthianizing. You can tell a lot by where a person's from. And Jesus Christ came down from heaven. It was said not too long back that the soldier in the army of the United States of America is the only country where men love freedom enough to go to a country that is bound in darkness and enslaved and give their lives to set men free. I tell you what, it does tell you a lot about a person. And Jesus Christ came down from heaven. I want you to say, on the other hand, that Satan was thrown out of heaven. In other words, it was no place for him in his rebellion against God when he determined in his mind and said, I will ascend into the hill of God. I'll be like the Most High. There was no place for him. But Jesus came down from heaven. Every right to stay in heaven, but he came to earth that he might take our place on an old rugged cross. The second thing as we deal with this major heading of follow Jesus for who he is, who are his immediate relations? I mean, who is his father? Who is his close kin? Well, we have God the Father, of course. Gabriel said to Mary that she would conceive in her womb as the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And the Father, we're told, on the Mount of Transfiguration spoke of Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Well, the Father certainly is close kin. The Holy Spirit is close kin. And both of these are God. Now, that doesn't mean that there's two gods. We believe in a triune God, that there's one God manifest in three persons. So that means that Jesus Christ is the third person of the Godhead today. And he must be God also, since he is closely related to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. His immediate relations. We have to look into a life and see who folks are kin to. What is there about them and about those that have preceded them. And it'll tell us a great deal about that person. The third heading under follow Jesus for who he is. What are his credentials for saying such? I mean, what kind of a person is this? Is there something about him that qualifies him to make such a statement? Well, I believe that there is. There are several things, and I want to share some with you. I'm going to give you 5 points here with the thought of his credential. First of all, his word is flawless. His word is flawless. If you want something that is secure, something that is absolute truth, believe that this book that we call the Holy Bible is the Word of God. I'm persuaded of it beyond any shadow of a doubt. I think the Bible for the English-speaking people today is the authorized or the King James Version of the Bible. This Word is flawless. Any contradiction or seeming contradiction in it is because of our lack of information, not because the Word is flawed. So, as we think about the credentials of Jesus Christ, his word is flawless. Not only that, but his word is enduring. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away." I want you to know that you who are now on planet Earth and are listening to my voice as I read the Word of God, it'll be the same word that you'll meet in heaven. It'll be the same word that confronts you there. It is enduring. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word will not pass away. Now, as we think about Jesus Christ, His word also brings light. What gives a young man light for the trail? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You realize that God not only supplies us light to see the immediate next step in our lives, but He gives us a light down the trail. I like to think of it in terms of this. As we walk this pilgrim's way, we walk one step at a time. But in the great overall picture, we're walking to one place, and that's heaven itself. There is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I know where I'm going today, and I trust that you know where you're going. If you don't know that, you need to find out where you're going. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the word of Jesus Christ will bring light to your darkened mind and soul today. As we think about the credentials of Jesus Christ, His conduct is sinless. Now, there's not another that can say that with truth. I run across a few folks in my life that have told me that they're sinless. I remember one that I worked with one time. He told me that he hadn't sinned in over 2 years. Well, I knew better than that, because first of all, just knowing him, being around him, it was evident. But then the second thing is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then there was another in a college class that I took, the University of Texas up in Arlington, Texas. There was a woman said to me one time that people that weren't sinners. And she indicated that she wasn't a sinner. But just the very fact of her statement bound her in sin, because she was telling a lie. She was guilty, as the rest of us was. But the conduct of Jesus Christ is sinless. Much to the dismay of this crowd that would like to bring Jesus Christ down to their level today, He'll not be brought down, because His life is sinless. His conduct is sinless. He never had an illicit relationship with Mary Magdalene, as some would write it in their opera and try to present it as truth. He was sinless. Now, I want to say this about Jesus Christ as well, as we think about His credentials before we go any farther, and then we'll go on to the next point. His work ethic is impeccable. Now, work ethic is important. I know that we might be speaking to some young folks today who don't really take to heart how they really work and what it means to have a good work ethic. That means you get up in the morning and you go to work. You give the man a full day's work for a day's pay. And right on down the line, that you're impeccable in your work ethic. But Jesus Christ was impeccable in His work ethic. He came with a determined will to go to Calvary's cross and pay the price that sinners might be saved. And He would not be persuaded otherwise. Even one of His own, Simon Peter, said, "Far be that from you, Lord," when he spoke of His crucifixion. And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." His work ethic is impeccable. So He has proper credentials to say, "Follow me." Then, just this final point under Roman numeral 1, follow Jesus for who He is. What's His name? Well, the name that is very common to all of us is Jesus. That name is yet very profound, because it means, ultimately, Jehovah Savior. Jehovah Savior. The very name that He bore and wore as a man on earth declared that God would save. And God was Savior. And then we're told that His name would be called Emmanuel in Matthew chapter 1. And then it said that being interpreted means God with us. So there is involved in just the name Emmanuel the thought that God would robe Himself in the flesh of a man. He would condescend to come down from heaven and walk among men as a man, live sinless and die vicariously on an old rugged cross, that sinners could be saved by God's marvelous grace. And the Bible tells us that ultimately he'll be given a name that is above every name, and at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God. You realize today, listening friend, who might be lost yet in your sin, you despise the name of Jesus, you use it in a swearing sense, but one day you're going to confess that name until God the Father is satisfied. You're going to be confronted with that name. You're going to meet that name out in eternity. Oh, it's a glorious name. It's a name that is above every name. So we say to you, first of all, follow Jesus for who he is. Then secondly, follow Jesus because of what he has done. Well, let me just mention something. He makes the impossible possible. I used the text last week on this broadcast, Luke chapter 18. And in verse 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Follow him because of what he's done. He's made the impossible possible because man cannot save himself. But Jesus Christ can save. Man can't steal a storm, but Jesus Christ can. One of the most interesting stories. The disciples are in a ship. They're out in the midst of the sea. One of those sudden storms of Galilee comes down upon them. The Bible said their lives were in jeopardy. It looked like they were going to die. In their fear, their fright, they awakened the Lord who was asleep in the hinder part of the ship, and they cry out, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Our Lord stood up and said to them, rebuked them, said, "How is it that you have no faith?" But he spoke to the wind, and he spoke to the waves, and they fell obedient at his feet. They obeyed his will. Men can't steal storms. If we could steal storms, we'd stop a lot of the destruction along our coastline because we would stop the hurricanes before they came in the land. But we cannot stop the storms, but Jesus Christ can stop the storms, and if he does not stop the storms, he can see us through the storm. Now, men can't walk on water, but Christ can walk on water. And then he can make men walk on water. Men cannot do that on their own. We follow Jesus Christ because of what he has done. He makes the impossible possible. Secondly, as we think about following him because of what he's done, he has made the way clear. Now, men can only ask this question, how? Even Mary herself, whenever she was confronted by Gabriel about this matter of being chosen of God, said, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" Well, I want you to know that God could do that which was impossible. He could do for her and answer the question, how? He said, "The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Never give ground on the truth of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It is a tremendously important doctrine in the Word of God. Jesus, while on earth, said, "I am." He said, "I'm the light. I'm life. I'm bread. I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's associating himself back with that same one that met Moses at the burning bush. When Moses was confronted at the burning bush, he took his shoes off because he was standing on holy ground. He said, "Whom shall I tell the elders of Israel when I go to them and tell them, well, you need to get out of Egypt and go back to the homeland that was promised to our forefather Abraham?" And God said, you tell them I am that I am has sent you. Well, we have one who can do that which needs to be done. We have one of full authority. He can answer how, because he is the I am. I am the Lord. I change not, he said in his word. Well, as we think about follow Jesus Christ because of what he's done, we must deal with this subject. He paid an overwhelming debt. Do you realize today that man is sold into bondage, into the bondage of sin? And we could not buy our own freedom. There's no telling how many hundreds and thousands of men that have been put on an auction block and sold as a slave, even in our own United States of America. That's a part of our heritage and our history. And the idea of trying to rewrite history today, it's a joke. We need to tell it as it is. But man in entirety, the whole race, was sold under sin. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for in that all have sinned. And there was only one who could pay that overwhelming debt. And our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And that blood that he shed there was adequate and sufficient. When it's applied, God would say to that person, as he said to Israel of old, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He paid an overwhelming debt. Follow him, then, as we think about Jesus Christ saying, follow me, follow him for where he will lead you. Where he'll lead you. Now, the first thing is, Jesus Christ will lead in this life and throughout life. David fixed his mind upon the Lord because he said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In that same psalm he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And David, that great singer of Israel, the one who wrote so many of the Psalms, and the one who, as king of Israel, led that great nation, found out that he needed a shepherd. Even though he had been raised and taught to be a shepherd, even from his youth, he knew that he needed the Lord in his life. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ will lead throughout life. And as he leads, he will lead in paths of righteousness. The same writer, the same psalm, he leads in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God's not going to lead you into sin. He's not going to lead you into immorality. Now, there's some today that have been deceived by the very power of darkness. Satan himself has come and lied to them and said, God didn't tell you the truth. But God does tell you the truth, that sin has its consequences, sin has its price. A fellow wrote a song. He said, sin will take you farther than you'll want to go. And sin will keep you longer than you're going to want to stay. God leads in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he leads with goodness and mercy. That's what David said as he talked about the whole prospect of life in Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God leads with goodness. He leads with mercy. He leads us for our best interest as God sees the need in our hearts and our lives. So we need to follow Jesus Christ for where he's going to lead. And he leads through life. And you need a shepherd just as surely as David did. Just as surely as I do. You need a shepherd. You need the one that could say, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You need to own him as Lord and do the things that he says. So we see then that we need to follow Jesus Christ for where he'll lead. He leads throughout life, and then he leads through death. Men at their best can go to death with a friend, but they cannot go through death for you. We can stand by the bedside of one of our friends and loved ones. We can hold their hand, but we can only go to death with them. They need somebody that can lead through death. And that one who can lead through death is Jesus Christ, because he tasted death for every man. And he conquered death. Men can only go so far, but Jesus Christ went all the way through death unto the other side. And he gives unto us life eternal. Which leads me to the final point. Then we'll draw a quick conclusion. He leads into life everlasting. David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, let me give you just some closing thoughts here. First of all, to follow, you must be able to recognize the voice of Jesus Christ. You need to know who he is that you might recognize his voice. To follow, you have to know the way, and Jesus Christ is the way. And then to follow, Jesus Christ is the best way. Oh, I hope that you've been encouraged to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if you're unsaved, that you, if you are saved, would follow Jesus Christ, that you might know the way through this life unto life everlasting. It's been good to be with you by way of radio.